Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views that, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and if you want to talk about what I'm talking about, fine. If you have a question or comment on an entirely different subject, that's fine too. But this evening, shortly before I came on the air, I got a call from a good friend of ours who said that Timothy Geithner, who is, the Secretary of the Treasury, he's also a member of the Trilateral Commission, he is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, he's a member of the Bilderbergers, he's a member of the Group of 30. He's certainly well qualified. He's part of a little cabal, a very, very small group of a few hundred people who really run America, who run the world. And, of course, he's a very good friend of the Chinese communists, having been over there for some time. And apparently, this last week, the premier of communist China, one of the most ruthless tyrants of all time, made a statement stating that we were simply going to have to be very, very concerned, the Chinese were going to have to be very concerned about the stability of the American dollar, that they have over $1 trillion invested here. Some of it is in treasury bills, other than that is in investment in assets. And, of course, they're really talking about, say, Fannie Mae or the Freddie Mac bonds or other government bonds. So they've got over $1 trillion invested here, and they're worried about them, and justifiably so. After all, if the value of the dollar falls, that would mean that they would lose the value of all the work that their people have put in over there under the ruthless dictatorship that exists in communist China today. In fact, a ruthless dictatorship that was installed by the American elite many, many years ago. People don't remember history. That's the great trouble. You know, if you don't remember history, you don't know where you came from. You certainly don't know where you're going. People have forgotten that the past is prologue. It's prologue to the future. And as George Santayana had said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And that's exactly what is happening today, because they don't teach our people much of anything, and they've deliberately dumbed them down, and they put fluoride in the water, which makes you not think so clearly. And you wonder why so many of our students, when they graduate from school, high school, can't compete in competitive exams with kids from around the world. It's very simply because they've damaged their minds with vaccines, and of course the vaccines contained aluminum up until recently, and many of them still do. After all, they insist on our kids having influenza vaccine, which doesn't do any good, but it does an awful lot of harm, and giving it to pregnant women with a full dose of mercury. The influenza vaccine has the mercury in it. They left it in to continue doing the harm, but they can't tell the American people. Mercury, though, has a wonderful effect. It decreases fertility, and they know that. They just don't want the American people to know, because, after all, aren't there too many Americans? And wouldn't we be better off if we destroyed the Americans and brought people from without the world, and we could have truly a multinational society? Well, unfortunately, there are people who look at the world differently. And unfortunately, the average American doesn't understand what is going on today. And that is, there's an organized effort to destroy the value of our currency. And when Timothy Geithner said, well, he would be willing to go along with the suggestion of the leader of communist China, who he incidentally said was just a wonderful and fine fellow, he just had the greatest admiration for him, this cruel and ruthless tyrant, that they're talking about really doing away with the dollar as the reserve currency of the world, and with all those $6 trillion out there begin coming home, heaven help us. Our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call right here at Radio Liberty. Love to hear what you have to say. Well, we were just speaking about the significance of the statement by the Secretary of the Treasury that he would be willing to go along with this idea of coming up with another world currency. So the dollar would not be the major currency of the world. Well, almost, you know, the nations of the world on average hold about 65% of their reserves in American dollars. And if the American dollar is no longer the reserve currency of the world, then why would they want to keep it? And my fear is that then, of course, they're going to start dumping the dollar, especially as its price begins to drop and its value begins to drop. And they want to get out of the dollars before, of course, they, you know, before they lose even more value. And, of course, my fear is when that happens and all those dollars come flooding home, it's going to already begin to really destroy the value of our currency. And there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debase the currency. Well, let's go to Jeremy, who's calling us from Michigan. Hi, Jeremy. What part of Michigan are you in?
I'm in South Central Michigan.
All right. Very good. Is that close to Flint? Is that close to Lansing? Where?
Lansing.
All right. Very good. Well, we've got a great station there in Lansing. Glad to have you listening. Do you have a question or comment?
Just wondering what the latest on Morgellons disease.
The latest on Morgellons disease, well, the CDC keeps saying it doesn't exist, but it really does exist. And we don't know where it came from. I suspect it's one of these terrible new diseases that have been created by the mad scientists who are employed covertly, whether by the CIA or some other branch of government. But it's just a terrible, I mean, you know what it is. I mean, you got this itching, you got this feeling that there are these little critters crawling underneath your skin, and there really are something there. And then they shoot these little filaments out through the skin. They look like filaments of silk. But nobody really knows what they are. It's some sort of a new, I believe, genetically created organism and maybe associated with nanotechnology. But we have scientists out there that are doing all sorts of things they shouldn't be doing, and I fear that really there are going to be terrible consequences. We know that they've created other diseases. How do we know? Why? Because some of the people who have actually worked on creating AIDS came forward, and there's a book, I've forgotten the title of it, I mentioned this in some of my newsletters, a man who was on the project to create the AIDS virus, and he was dying of pancreatic cancer, and he actually came forward. There's a full disclosure, I think, is the title of the book. And he tells how they created the AIDS disease that's killed probably 40 to 50 million people. And, of course, we have the government reports how they created the chronic fatigue syndrome and these other diseases. Hang on there for just a minute. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Jeremy calling from Lansing, Michigan, where we have a new station there, was asking about Morgellons disease, and I'm saying I think it's probably just another one of the diseases that's been created by the mad scientists who work, you know, on these black projects. And of course we know that they created the HIV, and not only the HIV, but the mycoplasm, because people who have HIV also have mycoplasm, and it's the mycoplasm, the combination of the two, that does the damage. We have a great book written by Don Scott called AIDS, something, a tragedy beyond description, something like that. But it really goes into all that we know about the formation of this new disease, AIDS, acquired immune deficiency disease. And it was actually carried out by our government. It was introduced into the homosexual population in San Francisco in the hepatitis B vaccine that they gave them. And 75% of the homosexuals who took that experimental vaccine contracted AIDS, and most of them died. And they did the same thing in Africa. And where they gave the vaccine, those are the areas, of course, where they have a large predominance of AIDS. And the other area, there isn't any. So, Jeremy, I think we have a terrible problem, and Morgellons disease is just another of these terrible diseases that have been created by very evil people. Anything else you'd like to ask?
No, there's nothing.
All right, fine. Well, I hope you'll get those people up there in Lansing listening, will you? God bless. Okay, let's go to Herman, who's calling from Carmel. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Great. I've got a couple of questions for you. One of them is on this whole economic rescue package. And something that I rarely hear discussed in all the rhetoric is this billion, or rather trillion-dollar bailout. Where is the money coming from? Who is going to pay for it? How are we going to pay for it? It's like going to your rich uncle and saying, hey, give me some money, bail me out. In this case, we don't have a rich uncle. We're already bankrupt, aren't we, as a nation?
Absolutely, and of course this will be the final nail in the coffin. Basically, Herman, we don't know how much they put out. I mean, we know that as of now they've either promised, lent, or given over $11 trillion, but how much of it actually been put out? Certainly, we know $1.8 trillion has been put out, and now they're talking about another $1.2 trillion, and then another $300 billion, and another $200 billion. But basically, they're simply creating this money out of nothing. And then, of course, we have the stimulus bill. That was the so-called TARP legislation last October 3rd, and that was for $850 billion. $150 billion, that was bribes for the congressman. $700 billion was the actual TARP funds. And then, of course, there's the Obama budget of $3.5 trillion. And then there was the stimulus bill of $787 billion. And you're right, nobody asks where the money's coming from. And what they're doing is the Federal Reserve System is simply monetizing the debt. In other words, they're creating money. They don't actually turn on the printing presses. It's all done with smoke and mirrors. They simply make those entries by computer, the electronic entries. But what this does is inflate massively the money supply. Now, we haven't seen inflation yet because there's almost $60 trillion has disappeared throughout the world as a result of this economic contraction. So, I mean, you put in another, you know, $11 trillion, that's really not going to create much of a problem. And it has not created inflation yet. But down the road, of course, basically what they're hoping is, as they get the economy working again and all this money is out there in circulation, then as the economy begins to recover, they hope they can go in and soak up, that's the term that they use, soak up all these excess dollars before inflation sets in. And in a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, and we have it, anybody would like to see a copy of it, the comment was, and we hope we can get the money out before the inflation sets in. We hope we can get this money out of circulation before the inflation sets in. What happens if they don't? Why, they simply destroy the value of our currency. Who in their right mind would stake the whole future of our nation and generations yet unborn on the hope that politicians and government officials are going to do the right thing? What we're doing, of course, is committing economic suicide, Herman. But you're absolutely right. There is no money. They can't possibly tax the American people. They'd be furious. We can't borrow it because other countries in the world don't have confidence in America anymore. And it's sort of like, you know, when they say when the king lion, the leader of a group of lions, of a pride of lions, becomes ill, then everybody circulates around waiting to move in for the kill, and he's not going to be able to defend himself. And that's what the countries of the world are doing today. They're waiting for America to be destroyed, and then they're going to come in for the kill. So we're in real trouble as a nation. But then, of course, when a nation turns against God, should we be surprised that these things would happen to our nation? And everybody misses the spiritual component of what's going on, and the fact that the people who control the economics of our country belong to secret societies, and their goal is the destruction of America and the establishment of the one world government. Anything else, Herman?
I talked to a friend today, and he went to a restaurant here in Carmel. It was a private party, and he had to leave because he said people were just openly and raucously mocking, first of all, swearing, but mocking Jesus Christ and talking gleefully about the movie Religiosity and how it mocks religious faith. And on the one hand, we have a heritage where America was built by people of faith, but why on earth would God continue to bless America if there is a God that did bless America, when we are literally throwing him out, cursing him, doing everything we can to destroy the faith.
And, of course, there's another movie out now. You see it advertised on television. It's called Knowledge, and I think it was Nicolas Cage. And of course, this is another blasphemous movie intent upon destroying the faith of our people. But there's an organized, coordinated effort to destroy Christianity in this country, which makes you realize how much the people on the other side fear the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. So
one final thing, Dr. Stan. If you go to the website reversespeech.com, I think it's run by David Oates, who pioneered reverse speech research, and you'll find a link there to a number of world leaders and politicians and entertainers. But there's a new one up about President Obama, and one of his mantras in his rallies is, yes, we can, yes, we can, yes, we can. And if you go to that, it just takes you a minute or two, folks, just for the heck of it, go in, Google that up, and the reverse speech says, and as clear as a bell, thank you, Satan, thank you, Satan. And the amazing thing is, the crowds, and this is a recent one when he was in Orange County or wherever, he said, yes, we can, and then the crowd was chanting, yes, we can, yes, we can. And even when the crowd was chanting, it was, thank you, Satan, thank you, Satan.
No, but maybe it's all you see, Herman, that could not be just accidental. It would have to be a supernatural power that would allow that to happen. Of course, there has to be, because there's no way that you or I could ever conceal of something like that with our own intelligence. So I believe there is a supernatural force behind Barack Obama. And, of course, they put him in power in the United States at this time for a specific purpose. And may, of course, God, have mercy on our land. Anything else, Herman?
Well, you know, two statements that I've learned from you over the years. The first one is, you mentioned, started, I don't know, 3-4 years ago when I first heard it, I said, this cannot be, it's ridiculous, when you would say they intend to raise our standard of living to that of the Mexican peasants. And I said, this is unbelievable. And yet, before our eyes, the wealth of the American people is evaporating. And the other one that you have so often mentioned is that we have the best politicians in Washington that money can buy.
Well, I agree with
you. I've said that a lot recently to people, just that statement. And they just look at me and they... Some of them say, yeah, you know, you're right.
Well, you know, a lot of these are just truisms. I don't even know where they came from. Most of them I'm sure we got from somebody else. But God bless. Thanks so much for calling, Herman. God bless. And let's go to Daniel, who's calling from Washington. Hi, Daniel. What part of Washington are you calling from?
Moses Lake.
Okay, very good. And you're listening to us on the American Christian Network up there. So do you have a question or comment?
Well, Doctor, I had something you kind of inspired me to write.
All right, you go right ahead.
Okay. This is something I was thinking, what would a soldier in World War II think of what's going on now? And so I've got this thing I put together, and to those people who are not Americans, please listen along, because it also applies to you. Do not speak of the greatness of one nation over another, one people over another, and a class over another, the moral high ground of a nation or ethnic group over another. None are without fault. All have participated in whatsoever sin they wish to lay at the door of others. Not so many years ago, America was born. America was a vision, something that could be. It was established by imperfect men, men of their time, sharing a common vision that things did not have to remain as they were. They knew it would not happen in their lifetime or in a few generations. It is a vision that future generations of imperfect men would need to reestablish in their times. This is true for all men, all nations desiring to be free. In my lifetime, historians have estimated that 250 to 500 million people died from two world wars, numerous internal state conflicts.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Go right ahead, Daniel. Go right ahead.
In my lifetime, historians have estimated that 250 to 500 million people died from two world wars.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Freedom Forum is showing on Tuesday, April 14th, starting at 7 p.m. at the Quaker Meeting, Friends Meeting House at 225 Rooney Street in Santa Cruz. And the movies will be The Capitalist Conspiracy, which is an excellent film by Ed Griffin of Freedom Force International. And he traces the history of a small group of people who create money out of nothing and control the banking systems of the world. And we're going to show a 30-minute segment of Treason in America, where Servando Gonzalez uncovers the true government of the United States.
And what's the address there, once again?
225 Rooney Street, Santa Cruz. It's close to where Morrissey Boulevard crosses Highway 1 And Rooney Street is the frontage road right there, and it's one block away from that intersection.
Okay, fine. And Ed Griffin does a wonderful, wonderful job, and we actually have a great deal of Ed material we carry here. God bless.
Yes,
thanks
thank
very
you.
Much.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Mark, who's calling us from Oregon. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Dr. Stan, and I know you're doing great. I heard you this morning. You were in top form, as usual, on Alex Jones's show. I certainly enjoyed that.
Well, I'm glad. I appreciate his having us on, and Alex is going to be our guest on Friday afternoon at our 4 o'clock show, so we're looking forward to that, if something doesn't come up. Anyway, what can we do for you this evening? Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, one comment, one question, Dr. Stan. A comment is on your caller right before Susan reported on her call, the call just previous to me. I think, there's an absolute natural-born statesman there. The gentleman really put it all, framed it all up very succinctly.
It really is beautifully. He had sent that to me and asked if he could read it, and I said, certainly. I think it'd be something that would inspire everyone. So, and if they'd like a copy of it, they could give us a call, and or we could put them in touch with him. Anyway, really, we are losing America, the most wonderful country there's ever been. America, as he said, was a vision. And for many years, people through all the world gave up everything to come here, to learn the language, to become part of a land where men could be free. And what a shame it is that a group of wicked and evil people have taken over control of our government, and their loyalty is not to America, but to this internationalist dream. And this is because they were here at the time when our country was founded, but they always concealed, and they're concealing today, what their real agenda is. That is the destruction of America and the bringing about of this one world government, because they worship a different God. But go ahead, Mark. Did you have something else to say?
Well, absolutely, Dr. Stan. And, speaking of them as an us and them, see the manifestations in our physical world of their nefarious plans as their agenda unfolds and drops these kind of physical dimension eggs in our reality, such as these. Specifically, I wanted to ask you about these large mass graves that they're beginning to actually build now. We're not just hearing about the coffin liners or the plastic coffins being stockpiled outside of Chicago and a few other places. Now we're getting to the mass internment mass grave stage here. I do understand that when they intend to use these mass graves is when they intentionally spread a biological and or chemical warfare agent over the country and plan to wipe out millions of people. I do understand that, and that's also going to be the excuse that they give for actually building them ahead of time. They're going to say, of course, it's a terrorist attack, but we just cannot seem to pin them down as actually the ones who are the terrorists, despite all of the massive amount of evidence from 9/11 and before, and from 9/11 up to now, that they, every time, right on the money, they're the ones who are the terrorists. They're the ones who are perpetrating this, the ones you speak of. And it's quite frustrating to me to have so much evidence there, and yet they continue on and do what they do in plain sight. And now it's gotten to the point to where, as we speak here, Dr. Stan, they're digging our graves. It's no good.
Well,
it's,
what we have to do, Mark, is you can't tell people too much. They're not going to believe you. So what you've got to do is saying, why would they put out all that money for those to refurbish the Japanese concentration camps from World War II? Why do you think they're doing that? Try to get people to think. If you tell them too much, you're going to lose them. So, and then, of course, why is it that, for instance, we've got this little group of people, the Trilateral Commission, there's only 85 of them, or 87 of them. Why would they, so many of them, be surrounding Barack Obama? Why does he talk against Wall Street when they're the ones who were the major contributor to his political campaign? Why would these people of great wealth pick somebody with such a liberal background? Hey, we'll be back in just a moment here.
God bless America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course we're using Kate Smith, God Bless America, because they've taken it off. We used to hear this all the time on the radio. We don't anymore. Why? Because they don't want people to believe in America and our God-given rights. They want, of course, to be us all to become citizens of the world. But go ahead, Mark. The story you laid out, certainly, I've read this on the Internet. I haven't had to check it personally, but I do believe that they have plans to eliminate a large part of our population, because I think they know there's going to be a nuclear war, and they know there's going to be famine, and they know there are going to be plagues. And
of course, they're planning it all out ahead of time,
right?
So that there will be all of these things.
Right,
before.
Absolutely. And if we could just
After you left this morning on Alex's show, Dr. Stan, during the last hour, I believe, you had a gentleman named Shepard Bimelis, or it's an unusual last name. Anyway, the gentleman was on for a half hour, and he has sent video footage of the internment, the mass internment pit that is being built near Phoenix, adjacent to the Department of Veteran Affairs Cemetery there, and it is up on Infowars.com, actual video footage of this and the construction of it and all such as this. And then they're, of course, covering it back up when they're finished so that it can't be seen. But actually, at this present time, you can go to Google Earth, and you can, if you know the spots to Google, you can actually see the construction. You can see the mass graves. And, well, God's in control, right, Dr. Stan?
All we can do is try to get people to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle. But as things get worse, Mark, and believe me, they're going to get worse,
absolutely,
why, people are going to begin coming to you. People have been laughing at you in the past to be coming to you asking what's going to happen. So don't get discouraged. Our job is to do what we're told to do, to spread the gospel, to let people understand the spiritual battle is taking place, because remember, this is not our battle. This is the Lord's battle. Okay?
You're right, Dr. Stan. I appreciate you, Dr. Stan, and God bless you, sir.
God bless you too, Mark. Thanks so very much. And let's go to Tom, who's calling us from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Good evening, Doctor. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
It's good to have you with us.
Two things real quick. First, I want to compliment you on everything you do. Your show last night really enlightened me. That I always knew there was something about these man beasts, you know, those way back. For those of you that didn't listen last night, he's talking about how the outer world spirits are trying to assume humanly form or to walk on Earth. And boy, I think that has everything to do with the stem cell research.
Hold that thought, we'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now we've got Tom calling from Spokane, Washington. He was commenting on the program we did last night with Tom Horn of Raiders News Network. Incidentally, Tom is going to be a speaker at our conference here on the 26th of October. And if you can come, I think it'll be fascinating. We're hoping to have Dr. Blaylock for 2 hours, and of course, Tom will be here. We'll have one other excellent speaker. And so anyway, it should be a great conference. That's Sunday, October the 25th, and we've decided to hold our programs on Sunday because we get so much better turnout. We had somewhere between 160 and 180 people last year, and we hope to go over 200 this year. So anyway, Tom, would go right ahead. I agree with you. A reason I'd love to have Tom.
I'm glad you brought his last name up. I didn't catch all of it. Tom Horn, I keep notes, and I wrote down the website, but that was fascinating. That explains a lot of things, and I believe that's what the stem cell research is all about. It puts everything in perspective for me, and I thank you for doing that. A few of my friends have been enlightened after that. The thing I really wanted to ask you about is these executive orders. How does the president, where in the Constitution does it say that a president can issue an executive order?
It doesn't.
And
basically,
Obama has
it's
done
some,
this 17
no
times in his first couple of weeks. You know, where is the precedent for this? How
well,
is
the,
this,
the precedent is there. Tom,
I understand it must be there. He couldn't get away with it.
Well, the thing is that it is unconstitutional. The executive orders were originally used by presidents just for minor administrative things to get something straightened
or
out. Well, somebody's job.
In wartime.
Of course, no. Well, basically, they were there even before wartime. But then, of course, as time went by, they began to take on the force of law. And the precedent is that unless the Congress specifically counters the executive order, becomes the law of the land. And this is all unconstitutional. If we got back to the constitutional, why we would not have the problems we do. But you're absolutely right. There is no basis for this. In our syllabus on the planned police state, we actually have some excellent articles on the executive orders, and people have to understand everything is there under executive order to establish a dictatorship. And anybody who would like to know what the plan is, we do have an excellent set. It's called the Concentration Camp Special. You can get simply parts of that. But you'll actually hear the congressman talking about the plan to suspend the Constitution and round up Americans and put them into concentration camps. But the justification is the executive orders, and they are non-laws, and they only exist because the American people have not demanded they be repealed. Anything else, Tom?
Well, it's basically done under the guise of some kind of emergency, or is somehow gained traction as just a way of doing business. But nowhere in the Constitution does the president have that authority. At that point, you're basically a dictatorship.
You're absolutely
and
right.
And I appreciate Dr. Sam. Thank you for everything you do. I'll get off the line so other people can call. But
God bless
you. God bless.
Thank you so very much.
I've been wondering about that, and thank you for explaining it.
Okay. Well, let's go to Rob, who's calling, also from Spokane, Washington. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
Well, hi, Dr. Stan. You mentioned a few moments ago you thought things were going to get worse and worse, and you know we kind of agree with you. So here in Spokane and Coeur d'Alene, we're starting to form groups for mutual aid and protection, foodstuffs, and so we can count on each other in case it really gets so bad that's all we can count on. But we're starting to have meetings here, and everything is starting to. We've got a few hundred people that are members now, and we actually have a website. Can I mention that?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, it's arminarm.org, A-R-M-I-N-A-R-M .org. And it's kind of catching on popularity, and actually we're having a meeting Monday night in Spokane at Andy's bookstore, and the sheriff's office is going to send someone to find out that we're nothing to worry about. And we're kind of worried if something does happen quickly, with just-in-time inventory, that stores are empty, within a matter of hours. In fact, it could even be a natural event, say an earthquake down in your area or in Seattle, could be like the catalyst that sets off the avalanche.
Right. Well, I think that so many things could happen, and people should be laying in a supply of long-term food storage. They should be getting their Berkey water filters. They should be laying in medical supplies, even seeds. We actually have one of our advertisers, Seeds in a Can, and they do an excellent job, and they'll keep for a good long while. But I don't think it's going to be a long while. I think the crises are coming. I don't know how soon, but I think that things are going to get a lot worse now, especially if the world repudiates the dollar, and if everything is pointing out that Chinese are talking about repudiating the dollar as a reserve currency, the Russians are talking about it, there's going to be a meeting of the G20 on the 2nd of April, and if they come up with an alternative to the dollar, it could very well mean the end of the dollar as the reserve currency of the world, and then heaven help us. Anything else, Rob?
No, that's pretty much it, and thanks for the work you do, Dr. Stan.
Well, God bless. And look, I'm just so glad to hear that the people in your community are beginning to do this, and please keep us advised how it's coming, because I think every community should do this. The churches should be doing this. Our friend Doug Vandermeulen, he's going to be on with us next Monday evening. He used to be our minister, and he's up in Fargo, North Dakota. We talked to him, I guess, just yesterday, and here's this minister. He's been out all day filling sandbags, trying to get prevent the Red River from overflowing the city. But he contributes to what is happening in the community, and his church is beginning to lay in supplies to take care of their people and others. When the crisis, we're not talking about the flood, we're talking about the other crisis, he knows it's coming. I think every one of our churches should start doing that, not only to help their own people, but to help others. Anyway,
we're just trying to be like the founders, and the early patriots, rise to the occasion. And hopefully, it comes, later than sooner. But if we start preparing now, when it does come, we'll be that much further ahead.
God bless you. I think it's a great idea, and please keep us posted. Thanks
okay.
so much.
Yeah, I will.
Let's
Thank
go
you.
To Joe's yeah. calling us from New Jersey. Hi, Joe. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, yeah. hi. How are you, by the way?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And my telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Joe, do you have a question or comment?
Well, I'd just like to voice what I think is going on. And what I see happening is throughout the world, I see evil increasing. Morality is going down the tubes. And I think this is God's judgment upon the whole world. As the Bible says, in the latter days, Satan would be loosed. And he's preparing the whole world for judgment. And you had once a guest on your show. He was some kind of an officer of the law, and you both were talking about, or he was talking about, there is this satanic organization throughout the United States that they told him that when the right time would come, then they would spread their evil upon the earth.
Yes, that's right. He's not a police officer. His name is Russ Dizdar, and he's talking about the Black Awakening, and we'll be having a four-tape set of, including several of my interviews with Russ when he tells that story. And hopefully we'll have that available very shortly. But that's absolutely right. These are people with multiple personalities, and the demonic personalities have come forward and in unison. I mean, many of them have said exactly the same thing, that they have been programmed and they are prepared for when the crisis comes. They are going to, of course, wreak havoc all across the country. And these are truly demonic spirits that possess the bodies of human beings right here in America. And there are literally millions of them, but most people have no idea this problem exists. So go right ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and he said they're waiting for the right moment in order to do their dastardly deeds.
When the word is given, they will know.
Yeah, and I want to suggest that the right moment will be, how I see it, is going to be the rapture of the Christians out of this world. And that will be the moment that when these people, that's the moment they don't know that's the moment they're waiting for, but that's when that rapture happens, that's when all hell is going to break loose upon the earth.
All right, fine. And certainly there are many, many people and Christians that hold that position. I take the position of Walter Martin. I don't know if you ever knew him, but he was a Bible answer man. He was a true biblical scholar, which I am not. But Walter Martin said, you know, the pre-tribulation rapture position, he studied the Bible, he could never find anything that really convinced him it was true, but he prayed he was wrong. And that's the position I take. In fact, Walter Martin once said that he was really a pan-tribulationist. He didn't know how it was going to turn out, but it was all going to pan out in the end. But anyway, Joe, we're moving towards a terrible, terrible times. But just in case, this is not a pre-tribulation rapture, it's going to be mid-tribulation or post-tribulation, I think we ought to make our preparations. I would hate to see a lot of Christians do absolutely nothing and find out that it is not pre-trib. But anyway, God bless you. One more thing to say before I let you go?
Yeah, there's one other thing I'd like to bring to your attention. You also had a program on with another doctor, and you were discussing condition of chronic fatigue syndrome, as well as the lowering of
the immune system of
the individual.
Right.
And I was just wondering, has the medical profession at any time considered that when there were organ transplants being done on a grander scale, and they started to introduce immune-suppressing drugs, whether that might have an effect in some way of bringing on AIDS?
No, you really have to have the HIV infection. You could get that from an infected organ, but this would not produce the true AIDS, which requires you have a positive HIV test. understand that this condition we refer to as AIDS is combined a disease. It's not the HIV infection plus a mycoplasma infection, but that is different than simply immune suppression. There's some people with chemotherapy will get immune suppression, but that is an entirely different entity. Hey, thanks very much for calling, and let's quickly go to Mike, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Again, I number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. I just had a couple of things. One was for the caller about the executive orders and how they are able to have the power to write those orders like that. It takes a little digging in to just simply read some of the executive orders. You can read, if you read maybe 15 or 20 of them, you'll start to see how at the beginning paragraph of each one, there is usually a statement to the effect of, by the power invested me by this and that and this and that and this and that and this and that, and it goes on and on. You'll find they're referring to sections in the public law and the U.S. Code and other executive orders, and who knows, and it goes on and on, but they're getting power. The power is being built into the office of the presidency that was never, ever intended to be there by the framers of the Constitution. And it struck me over the years that what's going on is really a very carefully woven tapestry of power being built by very intelligent minds behind the government. I always point to the island of Manhattan as being our seat of power here in the United States rather than Washington, D.C. But it would take a lifetime for any of us to actually sit down and try and unravel what's been done just in the executive orders, let alone everything else that's been going on in the way of subversion of power, the subversion of constitutional power in this country.
You're absolutely right. And for our listeners out there, let me suggest my syllabus. It's called The Planned Police State. We recommend you get that with the DVD, but the syllabus has a lot in there on the executive orders, a whole section on all those executive orders that have been put out in preparation for the coming dictatorship. This is long-range planning, actually. This segment in there is written by our friend Harry Martin, who spent many years in military intelligence, and he actually publishes a paper up in Santa Rosa or Sonoma, someplace in that area. But you're absolutely right, Mike. There is a web there. This has been planned for a long period of time. Most Americans say it could never happen here. And I would ask, why couldn't it happen here? If God is just, he's going to bring terrible judgment on this country.
It's all been done really with the approval of Congress. Now, when you talk about how we the people are responsible for all, we send our representatives, and they don't do anything. They can knock any of these executive orders. I think they have 60 days that they can knock it out of the sky. But they don't. I've never heard of an executive order being denied.
You're absolutely right. It's because most of the congressmen really don't understand. They get back there, and they go back with stars in their eyes and really going to make a difference. And then they take the special classes, and they explain how things are done. And then, of course, they tell them how smart they are and how great it is to know somebody so smart. And they use flattery, and then they use bribery, and then they use perhaps a seduction. They use all sorts of techniques to compromise those men until eventually most of them are compromised. And that's it's unfortunate, but that's the way it works. What we need to do is limit the power of government by the change of the Constitution. That's why the Constitution was written, realizing that men are infallible. And as Thomas Jefferson said, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the change of the Constitution. Isn't it a shame they've taken the chains off of the congressmen and they're forging them for the people?
Yeah, well, I think of the congressmen as being bound by chains, and they can't raise their hand because of those chains to vote against any bill that needs to be voted against. But the real reason I called was about the fair tax. If I could take just a minute.
All right, fine. Go right ahead. Again, one more time, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But go right ahead. You were talking, we had a gentleman on the other night about the fair tax, and what did you think of his ideas?
I think it's very bad. He talked about how he gave a list of all the taxes that the fair tax would replace. Well, my thought was, well, we don't want to replace those taxes. We want to get rid of them. And nowadays, the 16th Amendment seems to have come under the light of day. And a lot of people are starting to understand how we've been hornswoggled for the last 100 years. And a lot of people don't file for whatever reason, whether it's in rebellion or they just plain don't do it. And a lot of people are actually below the filing requirements as far as their income is concerned. But to whatever extent all that's true, the fair tax, I believe in the eyes of the government and those who want to collect all our money, the fair tax would clean up all the inefficiencies of the existing income tax system. In other words, they could collect a lot more tax if they even just let us have our way and declare the 16th Amendment and even the IRS system as being illegal or out of date or...
Mike, you're absolutely right. I think it's a rotten idea, and I think it is a socialist idea. I agree with you. What we should do, of course, is do away with all the government so we don't need all the taxes. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
The fair tax, I believe, will make it a lot easier for the government to collect tax. They'll collect a lot more money. They won't have to worry about people.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
Is going to make them see the truth in what you're saying, okay?
Yeah, I try. I have some people that seem to be aware that some things are wrong, but they don't know what to do.
All right, fine. Well, you give them.
I bring up the Bilderbergers, and I bring up the idea that the people that are behind this are the same people that were behind the Nazi movement, and that they're the
They're the world government people, and they're ultimately they're the devil's people, you know.
Damien, your job, if you can get them to listen to my program, they'll start out thinking I'm crazy, and before long they'll be afraid we're not. Hey, we're out of time. Don't despair. Your job is to keep telling people God will make those understand who are supposed to understand. God bless, and thanks so much for calling. Okay, fine. That's Damien calling from Yakima, Washington. Great calls tonight. Well, Chris, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is still primarily listener-supported. We've got over 60 outlets every week, but it's an expensive proposition, and quite frankly, we need your help if you're in a position to help us. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. A good place to start and introduce people to what's going on is, of course, my book, Brotherhood in Darkness. And if people don't have the money or don't want to buy the book, then go to our website at radioliberty.com and go to the section on videos and then scroll down to the Brotherhood of Darkness and watch the talk there. I'm not a great speaker, but the information is very, very valid. And then, of course, we hope that if you're coming from a Christian point of view, you'd like to see Pastor Billy Crone's sermons. And he's very demonstrative as he gives his sermons, but a great deal of information there. You'll actually see the scriptures that he's talking about on the screen. But more than that, you'll see the video clips, and that's really the strength of what he does. There are 10 DVDs in the final countdown, and certainly they're available part one and part two, each with 5 DVDs. And then, of course, we actually put these onto CDs. We call it Countdown to Armageddon, and we have part one available. Hopefully we'll have part two, because we want you to be able to play it in your cars. You have to listen to this several times to get the significance of what's going on. And Pastor Billy has done a great job of getting the information out. He's very young. But remember, it's fear of the God that is the beginning of all wisdom. And believe me, he knows the Lord, he loves the Lord, and he bases his wisdom on the Bible. And I've known many young people who are far smarter than a lot of older people because of their foundation of their belief is in the Word of God. Well, then, of course, we have some great new 4-tape sets out. We have, of course, the one on the murder of Bobby Kennedy. And then we carry the book, Who Killed Bobby? We have a DVD on, RFK Must Die. And we've got a 4-tape, 4-CD set, actually, on the assassination of Martin Luther King. We have the book written by the lawyer who was hired by the King's family, Martin Luther King's family, to bring out the truth of how he was killed by secret agents of our own government. But I call it the invisible government, the dark side, those people who hate men who stand for anything worthwhile. And then, of course, we got a great new, either the 4-CD set or the on the sinking of the USS Liberty or the Liberty Special. All of these things are available. In fact, we have a RFK, a Bobby Kennedy special. And you get the information there. And you get so much information, you can become an expert on any of these fields. And this is information that is not available elsewhere. So we invite you to call us at 1-800-544-8927. The final countdown, the DVDs, or Countdown to Armageddon, the CDs, and then, of course, the 4-tape set on, or 4-CD set on Martin Luther King, his assassination, RFK, the liberty. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
God bless America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ellen Hudson Brown. She's a lawyer. Her book, Web of Debt, and it's a fascinating book. In fact, if I can get organized enough, I think we'd like to carry your book because it really gives you an understanding of how the monetary system works. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you're a little confused about how the monetary system works, you're supposed to be confused. They want you to be confused. They don't want you to understand the very essence of this scam that has enslaved the people of our country and the entire world today. And, of course, until people understand that bankers create money out of nothing, they don't print the money. Most of the money they have is simply electronic entries, and then they have the audacity to charge the interest on that. And, of course, it is not that the government controls the monetary system. The monetary system, the bankers control the government. Ellen, it's a great book. Thank you so very much for writing it.
Thank you.
Well, why don't you pick up this story? How did you become interested in the monetary system? Because, really, it is pivotal to understanding almost everything going on today.
Well, that's exactly how I picked it up. Before, I was an attorney, and then I became a writer when my ex-husband went in the Foreign Service for 11 years, and I was writing on health and then the politics of health, and I represented a couple of alternative healthcare practitioners, and so at that time it seemed to me that the party that had to be brought down was or exposed or whatever, was the pharmaceutical cartel. And then I discovered that the pharmaceutical cartel was really the banking cartel. And also the oil cartel. They were the same thing in the 19th century, the days of the robber barons. And to solve the problem, to solve any of our economic problems right now, you have to go to where money comes from. That is the root of the problem, and where control has been taken away from the people and delivered to a small elite that lives rather parasitically on this usury system where they draw profits off the top, but sort of a tribute for the privilege of borrowing money that they didn't actually have, but just wrote up on their screens. I mean, there's a certain justification for it in the sense that they are taking the risk. They're basically acting as a guarantor. The seller wants this money now, the buyer doesn't have it. The buyer says, let me pay you over time, but the seller doesn't necessarily know the buyer, but they both know the bank. And so they'll allow this middleman to take the risk that the buyer won't pay back. And for taking that risk, the middleman gets paid extra, like a lot extra, like double or so over the course of a mortgage loan.
But of course, they're charging interest on money that doesn't exist, that they created out of nothing. And the other thing is that no longer are they taking a risk. Now we're told, well, the big banks are just too big to fall. I mean, we could not allow them to fall. The whole system had come down. Therefore, the taxpayers are going to have to bail out the big banks for taking these exorbitant risks. Of course, they were taking a risk, but they should have to bear the responsibility of that risk, and they're not doing it. And we're bailing out AIG so they can funnel money to Goldman Sachs and to J.P. Morgan Chase and to the Deutsche Bank over in Germany and the Lloyd's of London and Great Britain and the one of the major banks in France. What we're doing is requiring the average American citizen and unborn generations to make up for the risks that the banks took because they went bad. And that, of course, is totally wrong. And what they have done is create an artificially prosperous society for a period of time. And now it's coming crashing down. Well, I share your concern. I thought that your description of the banking system in the context of the Wizard of Oz, would you like to develop that? Because that is a very unique concept. I've never heard that before.
Mm-hmm. I'll just say one thing about the banks taking a risk. They actually do take the risk in the sense that they don't have the money, and they're pretending to have the money. That's the risk that they're taking. When they say that you have a demand deposit with them, they don't mean that they've got the money. They mean that if you come and demand it, they'll come up with the money. So that's what the fractional reserve system is. They only have 10% of the money that they need to pay on all their loans and outstanding obligations. So they can be caught short. So that is the role they play. So my argument would be that this role can be better played by a public entity. It should be a public entity, totally up front. I mean, you need a credit mechanism. That's not a bad thing, that that you can go to this entity that issues the full faith and credit of the United States that will give you credit, that will trust you to pay back over time what you don't have right now. That's a good thing. And you don't necessarily have to have a pot of gold or a pot of money to issue the credit. I mean, I think it's actually a good thing that credit is just created on the books. That's what credit is. It's saying, I don't have it now, but let me have some labor and materials, and I'll put them together, and I'll make the thing that will pay it back. That's kind of what has made our country great, that we have the ability to manifest our dreams by drawing on credit. That's what Benjamin Franklin said. He called it ready money, but it's really ready credit. So it's just a question of being all up front about it and saying it's just a credit mechanism. And if you have a public credit mechanism, I think it should be like, Stephen Zarlinga says it should be a fourth branch of government. And that would make sense to me. It's like the judiciary, you know, whether you go to court and you legislate or you determine who owes what to whom. So that's really what money is. It's a medium of exchange and determining who owes what to whom, and enforcing and making sure that they really have the ability to pay and that they actually do pay, and that you have penalties and remedies, et cetera. That's what the whole money system is.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's a,
back to the Wizard of Oz.
Well, I think it's fascinating the way this whole system has been put together, but is one of the greatest scams that there's ever been. And certainly Thomas Jefferson warned against this. Many people down through the years have tried to tell the American people what was going on. But since they control the media, why the average American has no idea what's happening or what's next. Be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest today is Ellen Hodgson Brown, and basically her book, Web of Debt, is very well done. And, of course, one of the things I've never heard before was the wonderful story of the Wizard of Oz. Now, of course, we all remember the Wizard of Oz. We remember, of course, Judy Garland, you know, playing the little girl that is trying to get to the city there, and the Wicked Witch of the East and the Witch of the North, and then, of course, the Tin Man and the Lion and the Scarecrow and all who are going to accompany Julie to the land. And then, of course, you know, there's this the wizard's there, and everybody thinks he's this very, very powerful wizard, but it's really a little wizened up old man behind a curtain. And this is actually what banking is. It's all concealed behind a curtain. So why don't you tell the story of the Wizard of Oz as written by this gentleman who actually wrote the story originally, which became the movie, which has certainly been so dear to the hearts of the American people for a long period of time, but they never understood it was simply an allegory about banking, of all things. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's been called the greatest American fairy tale, and I think the reason it does resonate with young and old, it's kind of like those children's movies that have an adult message in them, that even if you don't know exactly what it's about, you know that things like that go on, that there's, for instance, that the government pretends to be all wise and that really it's just little guys in the back working knobs and dials and nervously, frantically trying to look like more than they are, et cetera. In 1894, there was the first ever march on Washington. it was a march of starving farmers and people that workers who were out of work. There was a huge depression going on then because the greenback had been withdrawn after the Civil War. Lincoln had paid for his the war with paper receipts that he had gone back to the system of the American colonists where the government actually issued the money. But after the war, that was stopped and the bankers got control again. So the money supply shrank. There was a big depression. So this march was like a serious march. They went from Ohio to Washington, D.C. to demand of Congress that they issue more greenbacks or go back to that system. And, of course, they lost. But anyway, it was such a revolutionary thing, people marching to Washington to try to make a point, that was the plot of The Wizard of Oz. It was a populist movement all through the 1890s to try to get the money system changed. So Dorothy and her friends, you know, marching off to the... If you think about it, it's a very strange plot for a children's story, but that's what it was. It was based on this march on Washington.
And, of course, basically, of course, at that time, why, of course, the bankers controlled the gold. They controlled the money. That they issued money based upon the gold that they held. But they could contract the money supply every time they wanted, and that's what they did, repeatedly over and over again. First of all, they would issue credit and make money very easy to get, and gullible people would borrow money, and they'd buy a farm or they'd buy a factory, and things were great because there was a lot of money out there. And then when everybody got in debt, just as we've seen recently, they would suddenly, under one guise or another, contract the money system. And since there was not any money out there to pay back your debts, because, of course, the money had disappeared, the bankers had made it disappear just as they made it appear. Now they made it disappear. And then they took your home, and they took your factory, and they took your farm, and they took your possessions you'd put up as collateral. And this had been done over and over and over again. And so the people, at least in those days, understood what was going on. This is before they had bought up all of the major media here in America, and they bribed the people who worked within the system to keep quiet. There were a few people who were, but in those days, people understood that it was the bankers that had created the problem. They're doing exactly the same thing today. The current monetary crisis is totally fraudulent, but they're never going to tell you that. And, of course, they're going to use this, I believe, to destroy the foundation of this country, because the loyalty is not to this country, but to this internationalist dream. And you get into the background of who really controls Goldman Sachs and who controls Citigroup and who controls, you know, the J.P. Morgan Chase, combination of Chase Manhattan and J.P. Morgan. And it's just interesting, they all are affiliated with a little group of people known as the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and their loyalty is to this internationalist dream of creating a one-world government. But right now, but you go ahead and tell us the story. The Wizard of Oz, who are the various characters there?
Well, first I'll say that one reason it was more evident to people then than it is now is this was before the Federal Reserve. You know, the Federal Reserve is called federal, and everybody thinks that it's a government entity. But before that, there was no Federal Reserve. There were only private bank notes issued by private banks. So it was obvious that the money was privately issued. People knew that then. They don't know it now. We've been so far deluded that we actually think our dollars come from the government when they come from a private banking corporation. So the characters were, there was the Scarecrow represented the farmers. Well, there was a big populist movement to change the money system. When the greenback movement failed, then they moved into the to the silver movement, where they wanted to expand the money supply. The problem was there just wasn't enough money around, so they wanted to expand the money supply with silver. So the slogan was 16 to 1, meaning they wanted 16 ounces of silver to be the equivalent of 1 ounce of gold. Well, the symbol for ounce is OZ, so that was Oz, the Wizard of Oz. And Dorothy followed the yellow brick road, which everybody then knew meant gold. And that road was illusory. It was going to an illusory place where they thought they would find the solution to their problems, but in fact, the solution was on her feet all along. These were the silver slippers. They were changed to ruby slippers in the movie, but in the book, they were silver slippers representing the silver that the populace thought was the solution. And Frank Baum, who wrote the book, did march with the populace for William Jennings Bryan, who was their candidate for president. He almost won. It was the closest a third-party candidate ever came to winning an election. After that, since then, we've just had two parties pretty much all through the 20th century. So the farmers represented the scarecrow represented the farmers who were actually very intelligent, but they were deluded into thinking they didn't understand, or they were confused by the whole system because of this whole, they just weren't told what was going on. And the Tin Man represented the workers who, in the story, the harder he worked, the more he chopped off parts of his own body because of the witch had put a spell on him, until finally he chopped out his heart. In the book, he chopped out his own heart, and that's why he was in search of a heart. Likewise, the factory worker under this debt system, the harder he worked, the more in debt he wound up, just like today, where you can't seem to get out of debt because of this whole usury system, the compound interest thing, where your debt grows faster than your wages grow.
And of course, this whole system is really a very cleverly technique by which a few very wealthy people are able to enslave the masses, but the masses think they're free, and this is the problem. This was not what our founders wanted. In fact, Thomas Jefferson warned against this, warned against the danger of the bankers, and there's always been this battle between the bankers, which really represent the ruling elite, and then the people who want to be free. But, of course, the bankers are in total working control today. They work through organizations like the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers. But, of course, they also control the media. They control the banking. They control so many people within the government today. And we always like to say we have some of the finest politicians that money can buy. But certainly many people have tried to get this out to the American people, and yet you're not going to find books that really tell what's going on. I know Gertrude Coogan back in the 1930s tried to write a book on this, and they actively suppressed her book. Professor Quigley wrote a wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, published in 1966 by Macmillan. Somebody came in, bought up Macmillan, and destroyed the place of the first half of the book. The last thing they wanted was for the American people to understand the secret of banking or anything about its relationship to a secret society that Cecil Rhodes had created in 1891 that was largely financed by a man named Rothschild, Lord Rothschild. And the relationship between the Rothschild family and the Rockefeller family and the Morgans, all of this, of course, aimed at controlling banking and ultimately controlling industry and controlling the government and controlling people. If you control the money, why you control really everything? And what people do not understand is that these forces really are out there. But you go right ahead.
You're doing very well. It goes back to Amschel Rothschild said in 1791, famously, the head of the, he was the patriarch of the Rothschild. He had five sons and five daughters. So the five sons went out and controlled European banking in the 19th century. He famously said, "Allow me to issue and control a nation's money, and I care not who makes its laws." And that has been the modus operandi of that money system. There have been two competing money systems for at least 300 years, actually thousands of years, depending on how you look at it. But for 300 years since we've had paper money, there is the privately issued money and the publicly issued money. And their goal is to make it look like governments are issuing it when really they're issuing it, lending it to governments, and that's how they get their control. So, for instance, that's what Carol Quigley wrote about. He said that the international bankers, their plan was to control governments.
Hold that thought. Oh, go right ahead, Ellen.
Okay, so the International Banker's plan was to...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Well, which the ones are most responsible?
Pennsylvania was the best. It was just the soundest, most mathematically sound system.
Because if you print too much money, you destroy its value. On the other hand, the people in Virginia, they kept printing and printing and printing, believing you could just print all the money you wanted, and then, of course, you'd have prosperity. But the more money you print, the less value that each one of those notes has, until eventually you print enough notes, as they did in Zimbabwe. Why, Chris, they have no value at all. Incidentally, for our listeners out there, if you don't know what happened in Zimbabwe, they got to an inflation rate of 186 sextrillion dollars. Yeah, that's not quadrillion. That's not sept trillion, that's $6 trillion a year. That's a percent a year inflation. And then they just simply dumped the currency and they started using American dollars and South African rand and foreign currencies. And then suddenly, and this is just within the last few weeks, the shops have begun to open again. Suddenly some of the factories are opening again because they have a stable currency. You destroy the value of the currency, you destroy the stability of the society. And that's exactly what I believe that the people who control our banking system, and that's the Trilateral Commission, the people who work behind the scenes, really want to do is destroy the stability of our society, and out of the chaos will come what they say is the most wonderful utopia under this new ruling elite. But you've got to destroy the existing society. What a wonderful way to do it. But pick up the story there. You're telling us about what they did in the colonies and those, at least in Pennsylvania, and the colonies where they acted responsibly and where government did not print money. It worked pretty well, didn't it?
It worked very well. There was abundance in the colonies, as Benjamin Franklin wrote. And meanwhile, in England, they were suffering the ravages of the Industrial Revolution. And when he was in England, they asked him why it was that they seemed to be doing so well in the colonies. And he said, well, it's simple. He said, in the colonies, we print our own money. We print just enough to keep our economy going, you know, to fund trade. And we have no interest to pay to no one, he said, not in the best English, but. And according to him, he wrote that the real reason for the revolution was that King George forbade the colonies from issuing their own money, and so suddenly there was a huge depression because they didn't have gold and silver, and they had to pay their taxes in gold to the king, and they didn't have the gold, so they had to borrow from the bankers, and they got heavily in debt. So it would be like if the president today said, you can't use your dollars anymore, find something else to trade in, what would you use? So the people naturally just went back to using their paper money, which was an act of defiance, and so that meant war. But the problem was, they fought this whole war funded with paper receipts. It had never been done before. It was an amazing thing, and around the world, they marveled that we managed to beat a major world power with no money. We just funded it with these paper receipts. But that during that revolution, that receipts got so devalued, and the reason was everybody blamed it on the government again, but that wasn't what really happened. First of all, there were British ships in the harbor with printing presses, and they madly were printing counterfeit Continentals. That was the main problem, was that the Continental was easily counterfeited. It was a ploy that Napoleon had used. Whenever he was fighting somebody, he would counterfeit their currency and dilute its value. So that was one thing. Plus, the currency had to compete with the provincial currencies that had more stability. You know, they had a police force and a governing body, judiciary and stuff. And this was just an army that might not win. So and of course it was competing with gold. So it's the same problem as like the Zimbabwe currency. I mean, it's competing with other currencies, and everybody will take the more stable currency, which makes the less stable currency be devalued. So anyway, it lost its value, and then by the time of the Constitutional Convention, the Founding Fathers were so afraid of paper money that they left it out. They didn't say Congress had the power to print it, and they didn't say anybody else had the power. So that's when the banks stepped in. Hamilton set up the first U.S. bank as a private bank on the British model, and that's where the bankers then got control. He actually did what he had to do. He had no choice because the Congress didn't have the power to create paper money, and they didn't have any money. They didn't have gold and silver.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Ellen, one of the criticisms of the bank that Hamilton set up was that there was a large contingent of British, people. The British Central Bank bought up about a third of the stock of the First Bank of the United States. And so many people really were very, very bitter about that because, of course, here we were actually paying interest, on money that had been created out of nothing to the British. And, of course, that gave the British Central Bank a control over what was going on here, and I think that was in large part why Congress refused to renew the charter of the First Bank of the United States in 1811. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. It was at first the First U.S. Bank was 80% privately owned, and eventually it was 100% privately owned, and that was, many people were suspicious because they weren't sure who owned it. And then when the charter wasn't renewed, it was revealed that indeed it was largely foreign owned. But then it was Nathan Rothschild who got control of British banking, and he said that if we didn't charter another bank, or if the charter weren't renewed, that we would find ourselves in another war, which in fact we did, the War of 1812, which really had no good reason for happening. It was basically a banker-induced war. In fact, there's evidence that the Civil War was instigated for the same reason. They were trying to cripple the North by forcing Lincoln to borrow at usurious interest rates, but Lincoln refused to do it. He went back to the system of the American colonists where he issued his own money. So that was really the only time of any significance during our whole 200 years as a country that we've gone back to the colonial system of government-issued money. But we are now at the end of a 300-year Ponzi scheme dating back to the Bank of England, and this system simply cannot be supported anymore. So it's rather like the Zimbabwe thing in the derivatives. I mean, the derivative scheme has gotten so big that it just can't be bailed out. It has to be, that we have to let that system collapse and finally create our own public, sane, balanced, responsible public money system.
Well, do you see the whole system collapsing the way it's going?
I do. Well, they may continue. They'll continue to scramble to try to save it. But
hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Ellen Brown. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we always talk when we're off the air. Before we go on, Ellen, I want you to tell our listeners, do you have a website? Would you like to tell them about how to get your book?
It's webofdebt.com, and the book is Web of Debt, and it can also be ordered on Amazon. You might find it in bookstores, or you might not. I hear that it's not too available, but it's definitely on Amazon, definitely on my website.
All right, fine, and it's really a fascinating book. It got a lot of information there we haven't seen elsewhere. But Ellen is simply talking about how we've seen this gigantic Ponzi scheme going on for almost 300 years, going back to the Bank of England, and then of course the banks that we had in the colonies. And remember, probably the most momentous day in history was 1694. 1694 is the date that William Paterson established the Bank of England, which was a privately owned central bank which came to dominate the British government. Of course, you have to understand there's a partnership between the bankers and the monarchy, and everybody else, of course, is really subservient to that. Their political system is totally corrupt over there. They got a one-party system with two branches, and you do what you're told to do. And of course, but they can't tell the British people that. There have been efforts in the past to try to, of course, attack the system, and of course, that was what was in Guy Fawkes. I think that's what it was all about. He was going to try to blow up Parliament. He realized how corrupt it was. Well, the whole phony monetary system that we had adopted here in the United States and we have going on today is beginning to collapse, and really it's in the process of collapsing. And Ellen, what do you think is going to happen here in the near future? You've studied this well, and because I'm very, very concerned that Everybody's waiting for the good times to come back, and Barack Obama says, when we get through this, we're going to be stronger than ever before. But we're not going to be stronger than ever before. In fact, the world we've known in the past is artificial world. I don't think it's ever going to be, at least during my lifetime, ever regained. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm actually more of an optimist. I think it's going in the direction of public banking, and that I actually think they will snatch it from the fire, because look what happened last week. This is a backdoor way of getting greenbacks back in, or getting government-issued money. The Federal Reserve said that they were going to fund $300 billion worth of long-term government bonds. Now, this is very unusual. All the Federal Reserve does is monetize or turn into dollars enough government bonds to form the reserves to backstop the banks, you know, so that they'll have enough reserves to meet their requirements. And then all the rest of the money is created by the banks at interest. You know, it's so the reserves are just there to backstop this whole private banking system, which then lends the money, creates it out of nothing, and charges interest on it. So the good of the Federal Reserve funding our debt and basically funding our government is that they rebate the interest after deducting their costs, which are about 15%, and interest is now less than 3% on long-term bonds. So basically the government is getting that money for under 0.5%. So it's almost, I mean, really just a service charge. And the federal debt is never, ever paid off. It's just rolled over from year to year. It hasn't been paid off since Andrew Jackson. So interest-free loans that are rolled over indefinitely are the same as creating money. It's just a backward door way to do it. Now, the states could do the same thing. Really, what you're creating is credit. It sounds bad to create money, but what you're doing is, if you monetize, if you use that money to make something, that's what credit is. Like, you give the credit to the farmers, and they go out and they grow crops, and then they pay you back with the crops that they just grew. Or you monetize a dam, let's say. You write the dam up on one side of your books. You can call it accrual accounting or double-entry bookkeeping. You write the dam up on one side of your books. This hasn't been built yet, but you write it there as if it's an asset, and then you write the amount of money that it's going to cost on the other side, and then you draw on that account, and draw on the credit in that account. That's what public credit would be. And then you build the dam, and then the dam generates electricity, and the electricity goes back and pays off the loan. So instead of thinking that you have to have this pile of money first, as if money is a commodity, as if money is a thing, money is really just a medium of exchange. So instead of thinking you have to have that pile of money first before you can have credit, the money begins with the government credit facility. In other words, it's just credit. And so the community is saying, we trust you we've checked all your credentials, and we know where you are, and we know where to find you. You're a government entity, let's say. You're a municipality or something. And we trust you to go out and use our resources and build the thing, and then you'll pay it back. So the money is initiated from the credit facility, which is how private banks do it anyway. They initiate the money, but they pretend they have it, which they don't.
But, of course, the thing is, of course, you're assuming that the money's going to be paid back, and yet they can never pay back all the money because all the money is built upon debt, so you can never pay off debt. And here's the thing that bothers me at the present time is right now, of course, Barack Obama is coming up with a budget of $3.5 trillion. I don't think anybody has any idea, I mean, how much $1 trillion is. And his budget for this 1 year is $3.5 trillion. And then, of course, we're talking about the stimulus bill, and that's, of course, $787 billion, and then we appropriated, $850 billion last year. That was $150 billion in bribes, but $700 billion in the TARP funds. And now they're talking about, of course, the necessity for the stimulus bill, You know, and we're going to start buying up bonds, and we're going to start buying up assets, and we're going to start, you know, getting rid of these toxic assets and transferring money to the banks. And we've already given $160, $185 billion to AIG, and that's just a down payment on it. We've got derivatives out there that are somewhere between, I think, about 700 trillion, and maybe some people say even a quadrillion and a quarter. And we're going to have to fund and monetize all that. Where's the money coming from?
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I will say, and I mean, I think the TARP program, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, is not necessary because we don't need to save those banks. We can set up our own credit mechanism. That's what I would argue for. But the one thing to be said in the defense of those banks, it really was the Bank for International Settlements, the private foreign head, you know, the Rothschild, that's the last bastion of the Rothschild Power Center is there in Basel, Switzerland. They imposed that mark-to-market rule ex post facto. And it, well, last July 2007, there were the two Bear Stearns hedge funds that went bankrupt, and that's when everybody panicked because they tried to sell their collateralized debt obligations and nobody wanted them. But after that, in October, the Dow hit its highest level ever, 14,000. Things were still going along fine. And then in November, the Bank for International Settlements imposed the mark-to-market rule. This is part of the Basel II Accords.
Are you talking now of 2007 or 2008?
Yeah, 2007.
2007. So October they hit the high, and then of course they. And could you explain to our listeners what the mark-to-market is and why that is so significant?
Well, the Basel I Accords set the capital requirement for banks to lend. So it's risk weighted. It's very complicated, but a normal loan is a normal risk. You'd have to have 8% capital. So you could have, if you have $8 in capital, you can make $100 in loans. If it's mortgage backed, then it's called 0.5 risk. So you would need $4 in capital to create $100 in loans. If it's government securities, it's considered risk free. So you don't have to worry about that loan. You don't need capital to back that loan. So what the banks had done was they had moved these loans off their books, supposedly selling off the risk. They said, well, our loans are risk-free because we protected them with these credit default swaps. Well, that's what a collateralized debt obligation was. It was a mortgage-backed security, which was actually a very risky bundle of securities because they contained a lot of subprime in them. But because they were supposedly protected with these derivatives where they sold off the risk to yet other investors, they said, well, those are risk-free, so we don't have to worry about the capital on that.
Well, I think it's just so important that you understand a derivative is an insurance policy. An insurance policy ordinarily would have reserves behind it, so if the debt went bad, why, you could collect from the people who had written the derivative contract. The only trouble was, they didn't have any money.
Exactly.
And so basically, of course, you have all this debt being issued, a triple-A debt, nothing to worry about. Just buy up this debt. You're going to get free money from it. You can borrow the money from the central bank, you know, for 0.5% or 1%. And, you know, and then, of course, you can buy these other, you get all this money. Then you can buy something else. You're going to pay you 6%. You can leverage on maybe 8-1, 10-1, 12-1. Bear Stearns was leveraged 35-1, 35, they only had to have $1 for every $35 they were lending. And then suddenly, why, because something begins to default and you want to get your money, and you've got the insurance policy, and there's nothing behind it. That is organized madness. Who would ever issue an insurance policy without anything to back it up?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why they didn't call it insurance. That was what AIG was into. They're an insurance company. But they didn't call it insurance. They called it credit default swaps, and therefore they didn't have to have loss reserves. Yeah, I agree. But here's the thing. They had already made all those loans based on that whole model. And then the Bank for International Settlements comes in and says, nope, you're going to have to do your accounting differently. You're going to have to count those as risky, which means now you don't have the capital to cover your loans, so you can't make any more loans. So that absolutely froze the whole credit system. Arbitrarily, you know, they came in and changed the rules in the middle of the game. I mean, the banks shouldn't have been over leveraged and stuff, but the thing is, they had already gotten themselves into that. So the Bank for International Settlements imposed this rule, and around the world, then we suddenly had this credit freeze, and there's depression everywhere, people are starving, there's devastation, we all see this big depression coming on, and the Bank for International Settlements did not back off. I mean, everybody's moaning about this mark-to-market rule and stuff, and which means you have to mark your assets to the last price that somebody got on the market. You don't get to say that it's protected with a derivative.
All right. Now, basically, it was that in October of 2008 or 2007?
2007.
November of 2007. Okay. See, that's something most people have never even heard of, and I've got my ear to the ground. And I knew the Christians are trying to do that with the small banks here, and the government is talking about requiring them to determine their assets not on what they paid for them, but on what they would get in the market. And, of course, some of these toxic assets are only worth 20 cents or 30 cents on the dollar, which means that you think you have all these securities there to back up your loans, and they really don't. And so whatever you mark to market, that's what you can sell them for. And if you can only sell them on 20 cents or 30 cents on the dollar, suddenly you do not have the assets to make more loans. So that was November of 2007. That's fascinating. You say it was October of 2007 when the market topped out?
Yep, 14,000. Went over 14,000.
All right, go right ahead.
Headed down, and it's been going down ever since. You could make a case, if you want to get conspiratorial, that the Bank for International Settlements wants to destroy our credit system because we are the last great power.
No, I think they want to, but this is not only the United States, but as we come down, the whole world is coming down. I mean, the economy is collapsing in China. It's collapsing in Malaysia. It's collapsing in Japan and in Europe and in Africa and in South America. I mean, they are bringing down the entire economy of the world.
Right. But then the plan is, I read this and it made sense to me, the plan is that then they step in and they say, well, we're going to save the day with our world currency. We will issue it here from Switzerland. We'll be the central bank of central banks. And then, you know, we'll keep everything stable and we'll all be dealing in one currency, just the one world currency thing.
And is the Bank for International Settlements, is that in Bern or Basel?
Basel.
Do you actually have, is this written out someplace? Is this in your book, or do you have some writing on that?
No. Well, I've written a bit about.
I'm talking about the Bank for International Settlements and the mark to market.
No, this is an article I'm about to write.
All right, fine. Will you be sure you get me a copy of that, will you?
Okay.
I don't think it's so vitally important.
Because
certainly we know, for instance, that the regulatory agencies in the United States are telling our banks, the smaller banks, that they've got to go mark to market. And if they do, many of our smaller banks in the United States will be insolvent, and certainly all of our larger banks will be insolvent.
Mm-hmm. And it used to be we had two systems. There was the state system and the federal system. And the state system didn't have to comply with the same rules. But now they're all under, you know, the Federal Reserve is now the head of everything, and the Federal Reserve is part of the Bank for International Settlements. Well, there are 55 countries that are part of that system. So we're all having to march in lockstep to this foreign power.
Well, we don't have to. We just say, well, we're not going to do it. And that would end it. We would no longer have a problem. We could. The United States is strong enough. They could simply withdraw from the world. And of course,
I agree.
But we're not going to do that because our leaders don't want to. I believe that they believe in this world government. We'd be far better off if everything fell and was destroyed. And then we could bring in this new system that they want.
I guess I'm more of an optimist than you are, but I really think our Federal Reserve is our last. I think they could stand up to the Bank for International Settlements, and I think they might do it. I think they're doing it through the back door with buying funding. Instead of selling our bonds to the Chinese, now we're starting to sell them to our own central bank.
We're beginning to monetize them, as they say. Well, Ellen, I really believe that, I hope you're right and that I'm wrong, but we'll know here before very long.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Okay, where are we?
Well, basically, you were going to have, of course, the Federal Reserve standing up to the Bank for International Settlement. For our listeners out there, this is the central bankers' central bank. And the central bankers are all privately owned independent banks. They all, of course, I believe, of course, a cabal. And, of course, Professor Quigley writes in his book, the one they suppressed on page 324, incidentally, you can get it from Radio Liberty, that the central banks work and have secret meetings, and they plot to bring about a feudalistic system under their control. Feudalistic system means you and I are the serfs, and they're the feudal masters. And this seems to be the way that the banking system throughout the world is working. But there's real problems today. Well, I hope that... I do hope that Ellen is right, that they're going to go ahead and try to just say, well, we're not going to go along with the system. I don't think so, but one of us is right. We're going to find out very soon which one it is. We'll be back in just a moment here with Ellen to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Go right ahead.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
A powerful spiritual forces that, of course, are using this whole crisis to bring about the one world government. And that is really what this is all about. And, of course, until you understand the spiritual forces behind this, none of it makes sense. That is why you need to get my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. My talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness and or the book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. Only then can you begin to understand how this whole credible story comes together. So, and until you understand that there is a major driving force behind everything to bring about a world government, and I think Henry Kissinger put it best in his January 12th of 2009 article in the International Herald Tribune. You must get it and read it. January 12th, International Herald Tribune, Henry Kissinger, entitled A Chance for a New World Order. And he basically tells you, you have two options. You have either the international system, the new international system, or you have chaos. And I believe the chaos will come, and then they hope to force us into that. But in the meantime, there are going to be terrible, terrible times. And to understand this really from a scriptural point of view, let me suggest you get Pastor Billy Crone's excellent five CD, actually it's the 10 CD sets, part one and part two, entitled The Final Countdown. If you prefer watching this on DVDs, now these, pardon me, on CDs, we actually have it. The Final Countdown is on DVDs, and you can watch it and see the video clips. If you'd like to play it in your car, or why it's called Countdown to Armageddon. And we have part one with five CDs in it. We'll have part two available here very soon as Pastor Crone goes through this entire series. And we're really privileged to be able to present this information to you so you can understand the spiritual implications of what's going on. And we carry his other material. One of them would be on creation. There's two, five CD sets. Another one on RFID identification. And then, of course, there's four DVDs in that. We have one that says Get a Life. It's the story of how Pastor Billy became a Christian. He had been into Satanism and the occult and all sorts of drugs, and his life has been magnificently transformed. And then, of course, we also hope that you'll want to get this set. It's called Please Don't Go to Hell. We'll be carrying more of his things as time goes by. We think that you need not only to understand what is happening historically and politically, but what's happening spiritually. Because that's the common denominator behind all of this. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We've got some great new DVD, Dr. Russell Blaylock, on vaccines and brain development. That's vaccines and brain development. We've got a great new 4 CD set on soy. Everybody wants to tell you, oh, you've got to have soy, you know, soy milk, soy substitutes, soy meat, artificial meat, that's good for you. But is it really? I think you'll be quite amazed when you hear this 4 CD set on soy. We think it's unique and will give you information you're not going to get elsewhere. And then, of course, we have this great 4 CD set on the sinking of the USS Liberty. An intelligence gathering ship that was sent off over the coast, off the coast of the Sinai in 1967. The idea was to kill all the Americans on board, and complicit in that were Lyndon Johnson, the president, and Robert McNamara, and they tended them all to be killed. But God intervened, and they weren't killed. The sailors, American sailors, were threatened by high naval officials to be killed if they ever told the truth, and you'll hear them telling the truth on our DVD, The USS Liberty. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. From the mountain to the prairie.